I'm Jeff Hurd. I'm a guy. I'm running for Congress.
Like, I'm Jeff Hurd. I'm a guy. That's a good jingle. Just think about that.
All right, everyone, warm up those brains. It's time for the Get More Smarter podcast. This is episode 175. Depending on when you're listening, you're running out of time to shop before Christmas. I'm Jason Bain.
I'm Ian Silveri. Hanukkah is upon us, so it's already too late for that. This week on the Get More Smarter podcast, Bidenomics, Bidenflation, Bidenimpeachment. What portmanteau can't we create with the president's last name? We dig in. Our eighth favorite member of Congress from Colorado is living it up in the Big Apple. Has Lauren Boebert given up on winning re-election, or has she just not realized yet that New York City isn't in Colorado's third congressional district? Speaking of which, Barbara Hurd's husband has an ad, and it actually features him? It also happens to feature the same goddamn floor-stomping guitar twang music as every other Republican TV ad in Colorado history. We'll listen to them all. And if you thought the Supreme Court of the United States was done taking away abortion rights, you were unfortunately probably wrong. We break down the Mifepristone case headed to the Supreme Court, and we hope we pronounce that word correctly.
There's a decent chance I'm going to screw up that Mifepristone.
Is it Mifepristone?
At least once. I think so. Yeah, I think it is. I'm pretty sure. Well, it looks like we're going to head into 2024 with some version of another impeachment trial, not for any real reason, but House Republicans decided to vote in favor of an impeachment investigation against President Biden. They openly acknowledge that there's no evidence suggesting anything happened, but what the hell?
When you have no other ideas, when you have nothing else to do, and when you just, your only cause of being in politics is to do Donald Trump's bidding, and he's demanding that you impeach Joe Biden because he couldn't get Zelensky and Ukraine to open a criminal investigation, and Hunter Biden has offered multiple times to come testify, including earlier this week, to say, hey, I'm being accused of a crime in this country. We get to take the stand in our own defense. Could I please do that? And they just keep saying no for some weird fucking reason. Yeah. And right. You have no ideas on the inflation or on inflation or the economy or any of the other major housing issues that that America's facing right now. You just go ahead and impeach Joe Biden because why the fuck not?
Well, Nebraska Republican Congressman Don Bacon really gave up the game on this the day before the vote. He acknowledged in talking to reporters that there is no evidence that Biden committed any crime at all. He said, probably not, when asked if, if Biden committed high crimes or misdemeanors. But he says he's going to vote anyway because
I love that so much. All right. The charge before us is whether the president of I'm going to be as fair to them as possible, which is something they would never do. But the charge before us is to open an inquiry to an investigation to whether or not the president of the United States engaged in high crimes or misdemeanors. Is there any evidence for that before we take the vote? Probably not. But let's do it anyway. And then we're also going to vote yes anyway. Fucking cool democracy we've got here, y'all. So we're actually recording this on Wednesday before the vote is being taken, but we're like tensing things because we're busy and Jason added this like over the weekend because we love making it and you love listening to it and that's how it is. So we don't actually know if Ken Buck will go back or forward on his word he gave, but as of this recording, we are under the impression that Ken Buck will be the lone Republican to vote no on pursuing the impeachment inquiry, which is really interesting because we know that 36 members of Congress or maybe just Republicans are not seeking re-election. But Ken Buck is the only one who is not seeking re-election and also has the stones to vote no against this. At least as of this recording, it is entirely possible that he goes back on this and Buck pedals once more and ends up voting with Republicans. But you'll find out before this recording is published.
There's no way to know. He was on.
This is the point.
Yeah, there's no way to know. CNN Ken was on CNN before the vote.
In his natural habitat.
Yeah. Listen to this gibberish.
So, Congressman, I know you've talked about this. You've thought about this. But I want to ask you about Andrew's latest reporting here for the K-File. But first, How do you plan to vote on this impeachment inquiry into President Biden if the House Rules Committee does move it forward tomorrow?
Aaron, I'm struggling right now, I have to tell you. On the one hand, I have come out strongly and said that there is no direct evidence linking President Biden to the activities of Hunter Biden. And I have, at the same time, the White House recently sent a letter after these committees issued subpoenas to the White House. The White House sent a letter back and says, you haven't held an impeachment inquiry vote yet, and we're not going to give you any records until you pass an impeachment inquiry. I think that is an absolutely wrong position, and it's a delay tactic, which would necessitate Congress going to the courts and having the courts enforce the subpoena. So I wish the White House hadn't done that. I don't think there is direct evidence. I'm struggling, and I want to read the resolution before making a final decision on whether to vote for it or not.
What the fuck? Clay, let me recap what he just said. He believes, actually, there's no evidence linking Joe Biden to a crime. But the White House sent kind of a mean letter to Congress.
It's like the mean tweets thing. It's like, you guys are only impeaching Donald Trump because he sent some mean tweets. And it's like, no, we have like a recorded phone call of him threatening to withhold foreign aid to Ukraine. That didn't work out great, by the way, unless he like...
I'm fairly certain the Constitution does not say high crimes, misdemeanors, and mean letters.
Not yet. Not with that attitude. It is a high crime. I've been offended by this high crime of this mean letter.
Why would the White House respond when they don't have anything? Well, they're not even at, they don't even know what they're accusing him of.
Dear Speaker Johnson, thank you for your gracious consideration of my impeachment inquiry. We are so grateful that you have decided to trump up these charges against me.
Here's a bunch of things you could maybe look into.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Have you checked under the couch cushions yet? We may have stashed a couple of dollar bills there for good measure.
There's lots of things you could maybe check. What? No one's doing that. Good God. In the House Rules Committee, the day before the vote, Colorado Congressman Jonah Goose, who, remember, was a House impeachment manager in the second Trump impeachment trial, was pretty upset about this whole silly process. Take a listen.
Again, perhaps the most frustrating element of this exercise is the intellectual dishonesty to pretend that this is anything but a fait accompli. There isn't a single one of you who's going to vote against impeachment if articles are brought to the floor 4 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, 12 weeks from now. So pretending as though this is just somehow a very simple step forward to approve a perfunctory or cursory process is not level setting with the American people. It is one of the most solemn votes that any of you will take in your careers. I suspect none of you have voted in the past to initiate an impeachment inquiry. So treating it in this cursory way, as the gentleman from Pennsylvania apparently wants the American people to believe, as I said, is inconsistent with the constitutional nature of impeachment, the weightiness of impeachment and proceeding on this course. And I would hope it would give some of you some pause. It's clear that that hasn't been the case.
First of all, the House Rules Committee should probably move the microphone away from the copy machine. At some
point. Yeah, the audio quality is not spectacular.
Yeah, but Nagus is right. They're pretending like this is a real thing.
How proud are we of friend of the show Joe Nagus? I mean, he's like number five in the caucus. He's obviously a badass. He comes and talks to us every once in a while too. But he is really holding it down on this specific nonsense that Republicans have created out of thin air for no fucking good reason. And good job, man. Thank you for standing up for truth. And he does it in like this very prosecutorial sort of lawyerly way where he just like walks the argument from step to step and say, you see how this doesn't quite add up, right, guys?
I see what you're doing right here. I'll see what you're doing here. Here's Nagus with a little more on the lack of transparency in this process.
Any Republican that votes for this resolution is voting for a process that would allow the Oversight Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Ways and Means Committee to conduct an impeachment inquiry entirely in secret. Entirely in secret. This resolution gives the chairs of those three committees the power to conduct every hearing in private. Every hearing. That's never been done before. The impeachment inquiry resolutions that we've approved, Republicans you know, have obviously the vast majority of Republicans opposed them. But nonetheless, the impeachment inquiries that have been adopted have said that those committees shall conduct an open hearing. Doesn't mean every hearing that they conduct has to be in public. That's not what that language requires. It simply requires that they at least conduct a public hearing. And I'm not, I've yet to hear a cogent answer as to why Republicans want to give that power to their three chairmen to basically say, listen, you know what, conduct this witch hunt behind closed doors, do whatever you need to do. You don't need to conduct a single hearing in public for the American people to make up their own judgments. I think that's dangerous. And I just, and I don't really understand why. If you disagree with that, you could support this amendment that Ms. Ledger-Fernandez that is offered that literally is three words that just strikes the word may and puts shall in place of it, the same way that this has been done since time immemorial on impeachment inquiries.
So obviously there's problems with the transparency of this whole process, which has been going on for years, as we've discussed in the past. Neguse was referencing Pennsylvania Republican guy.
Good luck with this one, buddy.
Renschenthaler? How about that?
Reschenthaler. That's Reschenthaler? Pretty good. Yeah.
Reschenthaler?
Unless there's like a in there somewhere, but you sound great.
Sure. I mean, yeah, as you'll hear in this clip, this guy doesn't really deserve his name to be pronounced correctly anyway.
They've continued to update, not just Chairman Comer, but Chairman Jordan, Chairman Smith have been on TV. They've been on print. You can't turn on a news program without seeing one of those three update the American people on this. So to say that we somehow lack transparency is laughable.
So it's cool because they've been on Fox and Newsmax a lot talking about this.
Yeah, we like really want attention for our bullshit impeachment scam, and we've been running around talking about it to friendly news outlets.
And that's why it's transparent.
So this is a totally transparent process. And the like knife in the drawer here is like Hunter Biden has on at least two occasions like begged to testify publicly in these committee hearings, and they're like no. And then right before we started recording, I don't know if you saw this news, House Republicans are seeking like some kind of censure maneuver or I forget what it's called when you defy a congressional subpoena. In order to
comment, I think is what it's
contempt,
called now.
Contempt. Right. The thing people just do now. Thanks, Jim Jordan. Top GOP investigators say they will start contempt proceedings against Hunter Biden because he will not come and testify in a back room because he insists on doing it all in public. What the fuck?
Right. So we both understand that this whole thing is about MAGA Republicans doing what Trump wants. And I think also attracting small dollar donations to their campaigns from right wing supporters who think that it's just funny to impeach Biden. I mean, I think essentially that's what they're doing.
I will add one more cynical. I don't know if it's just because they think it's funny. I think it's because they're intentionally muddying the waters because Trump and his family committed so many fucking crimes open for them to be able to say, well, Joe Biden's a criminal. Donald Trump is a criminal. Okay, fine. We'll give you that. But at least there was no inflation when Donald Trump was president. Right. Ignore pandemic. Ignore everything else.
But at least Hunter Biden didn't do something.
Billions of dollars from the Saudi Arabian government. Billions of dollars in patents from China. Security clearances. White House employees. It's just fucking crazy.
There's a real risk, though, of blowback here. Particularly when you consider that again, there are 17 incumbent Republicans who represent districts that Biden carried in 2020.
And with Santos gone, McCarthy retiring, there's like a high likelihood the House is going to flip in 2024. And if you like, you know, live by the investigation, die by the investigation, right? Like these guys want to do impeachment proceedings against Joe Biden. Okay. If Donald Trump wins the election in 2024, God forbid, and Democrats get the House, get fucking ready, y'all.
Yeah, it's just dumb. I mean, and I think it hurts them a lot that this has gone on for so long, because I imagine most Americans kind of tune out. Like impeachment, yeah, whatever.
I'm sure like the person on the street is, well, I think you said this like, I don't know, months ago, but it's like, then it will just simply become a routine practice before when the president and the House of Representatives
doesn't mean anything parties,
the other one will impeach them and then impeachment will become meaningless and yada, yada. Donald Trump was impeached twice for very fucking good reasons. There's evidence, there's recordings, there were proceedings, there was due process. Republicans voted with Democrats at least once, if not both times. I think both times. Kinzinger and Cheney voted at least on the January 6th one, maybe not on the Ukraine one. I can't remember. But like, these are all going to be party line votes. There's not going to be a single Democrat who's like, I guess I should vote to impeach Joe Biden because all of this is fake.
Well, and as we've said for months, neither of us could really like explain to you what this is about in 15 seconds.
Don Bacon did the best job. Like you read the first half of that quote, which is probably not. But the rest he said is they're getting millions of dollars off the Biden name. That's not to say there was a crime by the president. So what they're mad about is exactly what Donald Trump has been doing his entire fucking career, which is literally just slapping his name on buildings and getting paid for it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Assholes.
The final word here to my my new crush, Texas Democrat, Jasmine Crockett, who was on.
You want me to introduce you? She's cool as hell.
Yes.
She fucking rules.
She was on the Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God and called out Republicans like Lauren Boebert. This is after she had done the same thing in September, saying they were all assholes for pushing nonsense investigations. Here she is recently.
Over there. That's why I
get it.
That's why you go viral when you call the GOP out and call them a bunch of asshole Republicans. Which you did.
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Because they are. What you mean?
I know, but what was the specific thing that made you, that triggered you that day and said, nah, I'm tired of this shit?
Yeah. when I sit there, the Oversight Committee is where all the drama is. This is where the impeachment inquiry is. And, you know, it's insulting that we have idiots like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar, Jim Jordan. I mean, you just name all of the nonsense Republicans and they sit on this committee and they sit there so high and mighty and they talk noise constantly. And they're like, oh, the Biden crime family. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Have you met the Trumps? Like, like, who is it that's in court every single day or every other day with something, whether it's the fraudulent businesses that he's run or whether it's his criminal issues on the state level, on the federal level? And you're trying to make something out of nothing. Is this what we're doing?
She's just saying what everybody is thinking.
And like, if we're going to have like young spicy people in office, which tends to happen on the Democratic side, we should like they should be doing this. Like, this is the right role for like Jonah Goose throwing punches, Jasmine Crockett throwing punches. Like, these are the fighters that the Democratic Party actually needs to bring to this particular arena at this point.
Meanwhile, some good news, bad news again. The economy is really kicking ass. Redfin reported recently that rents declined 2.1% in the last year, the largest drop since the 2020 pandemic. Obviously, people aren't feeling it yet. We'll get to that in a minute. But let me list off some of the economic good news. Gas and energy prices have dropped precipitously. You can see that for yourself.
Dude, it's crazy. I filled up my whole car for like 40 bucks.
Yeah.
That's great. I took a picture of the thing.
That's how excited
I was about it. It's cool because like all those leftover Joe Biden I did this stickers are still on all the pumps. Yeah. So like now they didn't think that far ahead, I guess.
Grocery prices only grew 1.7% over the last year compared to wage growth, which increased 4 to 5%. Inflation has barely moved recently. Less than a year has decreased from 9% to 3%. GDP was 5.2% last quarter, which apparently is really good. I don't know what that means.
Which is like a brain destroying number. Trump got for most of his president and bragged about 2% GDP growth every quarter. That was like his big high watermark. This is 2.5 times.
The stock market is near an all time high. Unemployment and uninsured rates are at near record lows.
23 straight months of unemployment under 4%, which has not happened since 1969.
So why do people still think the economy is doing poorly?
Well, so inflation is down, but vibeflation is up.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's been a lot of coverage of this lately, a lot of analysts looking at this. some of the things I've seen that make some sense is that there's a lot of the narrative being driven by younger people on social media, TikTok and Instagram, complaining about price increases. And then that, you know, negative news goes viral. That's the whole point of.
Man, we sound real old right now, bud.
Yeah.
The young kids complaining about the prices on the TikToks.
I think there's truth to that.
Oh, I think that I absolutely think there's an influential negativity and doom goes further faster on the internet than positivity and hope these. It just does.
I mean, nobody does a video saying, hey, look at I got a good deal on milk. Like,
I have a whole theory on that, and I kind of want to start the opposite thing. I want to start like the good vibes, like media outlet. That's just kind of like, because we do cool shit. Like, humans are metal. Like, we do awesome shit all the fucking time. And it just feels like all we talk about is like, well, milk's expensive, and that means everything's terrible. And like, milk being expensive is not good. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, right. I am all for prices going down for a variety of super duper obvious reasons. But like, I agree with you that there's like incentives built into society, and then also like social media algorithms that like boosts bad news, and that has an effect on people.
This is also the same reason in my mind that people always cite the economy as their top issue when you poll them on stuff, because everyone wants to do better financially. Everybody does.
Not only that, but there's another proof point to what you're saying that I think goes one level deeper that makes your point stronger, which is this: the second Biden became president, so Trump is president, the COVID happens, the world is in ruins, the economy is terrible, everything's bad. You ask Democrats how the economy is doing, they say terrible. You ask Republicans how the economy is doing, they say fine or good. The second Biden becomes president, Democrats start saying the economy is doing well, Republicans start saying it's horrible. Like, it switches in an instant. So it's no longer even a reliable indicator of how people feel about their like day-to-day experiences. It really boils down to like, is this more evidence that my team is doing a good or bad job?
Right. And then, you know, as the Associated Press reported recently, pollsters are saying, like, Celinda Lake, who has worked with Biden, has done a lot of polling for Democrats for years.
She's one of the top pollsters in the country. Yeah, she's great.
And she says, honestly, I'm kind of mystified by it. That and her, one of her quotes also is that she has seen that voters don't just want to see inflation rates fall. They want an outright decline in prices, which you don't want, really.
And doesn't really happen. I mean, like, we all remember when we were kids, like, talking to our parents, and they were like, back in my day, a milkshake was a quarter. And it was like, you couldn't even conceive of, like, going to buy anything for 25 cents. Like, inflation happens.
But it's a meaningless thing to say.
Correct. And but like, people do feel it in their day-to-day lives. And we also got really used to low inflation. Like in our lifetimes, your and mine, we had 20 years of low inflation. Right. So we're used to prices being the same over long stretches of time. So when they go up, especially when they go up across the board, it's shocking. And the fact that, like, you keep hearing this news about the economy improving and people think that's going to translate to price decreases.
And if prices drop, that means you're in a recession. You don't actually want that to happen. I mean, everybody says, yes, I wish prices were lower. Sure. But functionally, you don't really want that to happen.
That's complicated. And that's a really, really good point. So have you seen this greedflation report that Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania has been putting out?
No.
So he did his second one this week, which is like why holiday meals will be more expensive for the average consumer. And this one is titled Greedflation, Stuffing Their Pockets. Good wordplay there. It's really, really interesting, and it's worth looking at. So he's got this whole chart here, and in this tweet that sort of promotes this report, he says, companies that process America's food have increased their prices for everyday staple foods faster than the price of inflation. This type of greedflation will strain family budgets during the holiday season. And you can see it on this chart. Like, the actual items themselves are going up way faster than inflation. And look, you can talk about in supply and demand, and you can talk about this is how markets work, and prices will only be what people are willing to pay for them. But if you have these like small number of groups that control the production of enormous amounts of important staples like food, all kind of working together, like the egg producers, do you know about this? They got slapped with a huge fine.
Big egg.
Big egg. must pay $18 million in damages for price gouging in the 2000s that involved conspiring to limit U.S. supply. This is a headline from Fortune. So this is not like a unique thing. This happens all the time. And the president, to his credit, is running around taking on corporate mergers, junk fees, landlords, food prices. This is like exactly what he needs to be doing right now, is placing the blame where it belongs on the backs of these huge corporations. There's a reason why the stock market is at an all-time high. It's because corporate profits are at an all-time high at a time where prices are high. All these things are fucking related.
And there was a great analysis of this in that same Associated Press story I mentioned that said, quote, "The Republican counter to Biden has been to dismiss the positive economic data and focus on how voters are feeling. As the annual inflation rate has fallen, GOP messaging has focused instead on multi-year increases in consumer prices without necessarily factoring in wage gains. Republican lawmakers have argued that people should trust their gut on the economy instead of these statistics cited by Biden," unquote. And that's true.
I mean, I get it. You're right. And this is the problem. It's like, you can't just message your way out of like what people believe their experiences are, right? Like, and we talked about this on the show. I can't remember, but I saw this tweet that was really, really informative. That was basically like some guy like reporting back from his holidays from Thanksgiving. And he was like, "Look, I think I figured out the core problem in the economy. Everyone was talking about the great job they had, the raise they just got, the end of year bonus they just got, and they're all going on their first European vacations ever and ever and ever. But when you ask them how the economy is doing, they say, well, it's fucking terrible and it sucks." And what he thinks is happening is that people are taking credit for their own successes and then blaming the government for everything that's going wrong. And I think that's definitely true.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is still, though, it's a message problem.
One that Democrats would be wise to address.
As you said, I think Biden's doing the right thing by, you know, going around and pointing to actually, you know, actual specific things.
The "I did it" stickers on the gas stations hopefully haven't peeled off yet.
Let's talk about our eighth favorite member of Congress from Colorado.
This is the Bo Burt Report.
Just when you thought this couldn't get more fucking embarrassing.
Oh, no, I didn't think that.
I think we got a long way to go still.
Yeah, we're well on the trajectory I anticipated. It's baffling, though, that she doesn't seem to internalize these things that are very clear problems for her. That Colorado Springs Gazette op-ed that endorsed Jeff Hurd instead of her that we talked about last week very specifically said that voters don't like that she's sort of a celebrity going to all these events and posing for cameras and stuff like that instead of doing the work. And then she shows up in New York with George Santos in all these pictures. I don't even know what the event was for.
A fancy dress gala for powerful people in New York City. Not exactly right. The message Bobert puts toward the voters in CD3.
Right. I mean, it's exactly what she should not be doing.
Works for me. Keep it up.
Right.
But this is who she is. She's a tabloid star. She's a B-list celebrity, D-list celebrity. Like, this is the whole fucking point, man. She's not there to make laws. She's there to make a buck. She's not there to make a difference.
She's there to live the lifestyle. Yeah. She is making the tabloids, though. Even across the pond, the Daily Mail reported that Boebert spent campaign funds to attend a race that her ex-boyfriend, the guy from the Beetlebert scandal, was participating in.
And it wasn't even in her district. This is the best part about this, is that like she spent money in a county that used to be in CD3, but is no longer in CD3. So like, you could argue with a somewhat straight face that you're like going to see your boyfriend's bike race in your own district with campaign money and like you're meeting constituents and stuff. Nope, not in Leadville.
Yeah, she seems to have stopped caring about whether or not there are campaign finance laws. And on that part,
she hasn't been punished for violating them so far. So like, I'm not sure why she would care about them, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, we've talked before about that permission structure to not support Boebert any longer. She's now even losing endorsements to people who aren't even in her district. State legislators Larry Liston and Bob Gardner recently endorsed Jeff Hurd. Both of them are in Colorado Springs, which is not in the 3rd Congressional District.
But they're fairly influential, especially because the Republican Party in Colorado has targeted Larry Liston as an opponent. Like, he's on like, this rhino hunter list or whatever the fuck bullshit that is. And like, these are like as normie establishment Republicans as you get are like Larry Liston and Bob Gardner, guys who have been around as long as we have. They were both in the state house and now they're both in the state Senate. I think Liston was in the house again.
I think it's pretty telling that they're both like, yeah, I also endorse Jeff Hurd.
Right. Like
that's how far this has gone.
With no relevance and no ability to even vote for Jeff Hurd.
No one asked. Right.
The obvious strategic question is like, does this matter for the primary? Like, I don't think, there's not a voter in CD3 who's like, well, Bob Gardner's out, so I guess I have to vote for Jeff Hurd too. But it is an indication that this permission structure that we've been talking about has taken hold, and this has a snowball effect. You're going to keep hearing every single week that there are more Republican politicians and more people in and out of the district. I mean, fucking Bill Owens probably doesn't live in CD3, right? Who are just leaving. They say it's time to go.
Right. There's no reason for Liston and Gardner to weigh in here other than to ride the wave. The Beetlebert scandal is also hurting Boebert still outside of Congress. We saw the tweet about the next Turning Point USA conference, you know, where all the Republican weirdos gather and there's the flashing lights and the neon. And she wasn't listed among the 36 nut jobs and has-beens who are being promoted, including Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Boebert's been left off these lists, and she used to appear at all these things.
It's really interesting, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just that she used to appear at all these things. This is why she ran for office, right? The whole reason she gets elected and runs for Congress so she can do these kinds of like 2 minutes hate, like right wing celebrity rallies and stage shows, right? The permission structure to break up with her is now national. This is what's interesting. It's like her post-electoral meal ticket is evaporating. I'm sure the book sales weren't tremendous. And all the other ancillary opportunities that you want, I guess, if you're like using Congress to increase your own celebrity for whatever reason, are getting taken away from her.
She's embarrassing
of her own actions because of her hypocrisy, because they don't want her turning. They don't want her turning the Turning Point USA shit show into the Beetlebert shit show.
Her opponent in the Republican primary, Barbara Hurd's husband, finally has an ad of his own, and it is as generic a Republican ad as you could possibly come up with.
Western Colorado is a place of breathtaking beauty, and it's home to some of the hardest working people you'll ever meet. It's time we have a representative in Congress who works just as hard as they do. Someone who will fiercely defend our Colorado values. I've made a decision. I'm running for Congress so that our 3rd Congressional District can have an effective conservative fighter in Washington. I'm Jeff Hurd. I'm a Colorado native, and I was raised right here in Western Colorado. I'm inviting you to join our campaign. Together, we can make a difference.
He rides in a tractor. He's shaking hands. He's from Grand Junction. He's Jeff.
Literally, the only thing we learned is that he's from Grand Junction and he shakes hands.
And
that's
he was smart enough to put himself and not Barbara Hurd in this particular advertisement. So that's an evolution of strategy for the Hurd campaign.
But there is nothing in this ad. Nothing about him. It's just, I'm Jeff Hurd. I'm a guy. I'm running for Congress.
I'm Jeff Hurd. I'm a guy. That's a good jingle.
That's it.
Just think about that.
And it sounds a lot like a lot of these other ads, including this boss ad from 2022 U.S. Senate candidate Joe O'Day.
Joe O'Day, he's a conservative running for U.S. Senate. He's not a politician. People call him the boss. He's a construction CEO and a Colorado leader. He built his construction company from the ground up, employing hundreds of Coloradans. He's running for the Senate to cut the debt, stop inflation, support the police and military, take on rampant crime. Endorsed by conservatives, endorsed by police. Joe O'Day, the boss, not a politician. A conservative for U.S. Senate, paid for by Joe O'Day for U.S. Senate.
I'm Joe O'Day, and I approve this message.
Is there like a band that does this for these guys or what?
No, there's just like one website that's like unwoke sound design for political ads. Come here and pay Twangy us your royalty fees.
.com.
It's the same ingredients. It's stomp, clap, twang. Stomp, clap, different twang. The riffs are like a little bit badass. I'm like partial to this kind of riffery as like a guitar music enthusiast myself. But like, it is indistinguishable from so many of these things.
What I find really interesting about this, however, is Jeff Hurd is a bread sandwich. There's nothing there. is as plain as you can get.
What kind of bread is in the middle of the bread sandwich?
Well, in this case, just whiter bread. He might be what Republicans in the 3rd Congressional District want. Scott Tipton, the guy that Boebert defeated in a Republican primary in 2020, was sort of like this.
Yeah, generic white Republican guy.
Wonder Bread, America's favorite health food. Don't you love it?
Right. They didn't really do anything good or bad. You didn't hear about him. He was just there. But I think people in the district appreciated him to some degree, because he seemed to, like, I don't know, do his job. We're also waiting on the Supreme Court of the United States, a potential ruling on whether or not to ban mifepristone.
Mifepristone. You did it. Good job.
This is the abortion drug that is used now in about, I think, half of all abortions nationwide. Oral arguments are likely to come in the spring with a decision by the end of June. This is obviously something that we would like to see upheld. I mean, there's no reason. I don't see any good that comes out of banning this, but
this is also a drug that is not just used for abortions. It's used to manage other health conditions, and if you make it illegal, or if you allow states to make it illegal, people who have health conditions and don't want abortions at all will not have the drug they need to stay healthy and get health care, because abortion is health care, by the fucking way.
But politically speaking, if the Supreme Court restricts this, you're looking at another real galvanizing moment for voters again in 2024.
It also puts an unfortunate amount of truth to a claim that Democrats have been warning about for a long time, which is like, hey, they're not just going to stop with abortion. If you let these guys pull on this thread, they're going to ban birth control too. And that's where we're obviously fucking.
Yeah. And that's bad news for Republicans electorally.
And literally half the population medically.
Right. This story about abortion rights is also getting a lot more publicity with the case of Kate Cox in Texas. She's a 31-year-old mother of two who had sought an abortion in Texas after learning that her fetus had a fatal genetic condition that could threaten her life and her future fertility. It was the first case of a woman asking a court for permission to terminate a pregnancy since Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973, believe it or not.
And that lower court gave her approval, and then the Texas Supreme Court, with a letter from corrupt, almost impeached, monster Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, yes, said, oh, no, you don't. How dare you try and get health care in the Lone Star State, you fool? We believe in freedom here.
So Cox has since left the state for abortion care. And this is another example of how troubling this politically is for Republicans, because it is difficult to not take this woman's side if you are intellectually honest.
Or in any way, shape, or form compassionate. Like, she's not like asking to use abortion as birth control late in term. Like, she doesn't fit any of the lies or stereotypes or nonsense that Republicans accuse people who want abortions of all the time. She is literally trying to get health care to save her life, and the law is written in such a way that if she adhered to it, she would fucking die. So sorry, guys, we told you there'd be problems with your nonsense abortion bans. Here's one.
Let's do a couple of quicker hits and then we'll roll out of here for the week. we've all known the Trump rift is very real and very strange, but it gets weirder and weirder and weirder the longer this guy is in the public eye the way he is. Listen to this advertisement about like a Trump trading card or something. It blows my mind.
47 all new stunning cards, and here is the best part. I'm doing two important things for my Trump collectors. For the first time, we're creating a real physical Trump card. Purchase 47 digital cards and we'll mail you a beautiful trading card. It is an authentic piece of the suit I wore when I took that now famous mugshot. And it was a great suit. Believe me, a really good suit. It's all cut up and you're going to get a piece of it. I'll be autographing some of them. A true collector's item. This is something to give to your family, to your kids, and your grandchildren. With the purchase of 47 of the Trump digital trading cards, you will also be invited to join me for a gala dinner at my beautiful Mar-a-Lago, my home in Florida. You've perhaps heard of it.
He is such a fucking huckster.
If you bought all 47 of these cards and then you would get a piece of the suit he wore when he was arrested, it would cost
you... believe me, it was a great suit.
Great suit. It would cost you $4,653.
You could just fly to Florida all by yourself and not go to Mar-a-Lago for a lot less than that.
I really am trying to picture the people, what it would be like to have this conversation in your head where you're like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
These are the same people that are like buying up silver from advertorials on late night TV, like infomercials. Like, it's a scam. He's a con artist. You're a fucking mark if you fall for this. And like, I didn't even realize that these things cost money and they're digital cards. Like, you, what is it? Fucking NFTs?
Yeah.
Like, you're buying a graphic? That's not worth money.
Yeah, 47 computer images. and then they mail you a piece of his suit.
I don't understand how 47 of them add up to 4,653. Why don't you just round it up, make them each $100? Right? Like, what? Like, what's the math here?
I don't know. I don't understand how any of this works. This guy could be president again. I mean, it's just... Here's a story that's not about politics, but it is about Colorado, and it's funny, so we're going to talk about it. Two men convicted of felony theft for stealing more than $2,000 worth of merchandise from a Kohl's store in Colorado have argued that they should get a lesser charge because the items they stole were on sale and they had coupons.
That's so fucking good. Whatever lawyer is defending them is earning that fee, man. That is so good. I love that so much. Is it working? Do we know?
I don't know. I would like to think that they could get a reduced sentence just purely for creativity.
I love it so much. This is the greatest evidence that we still have the greatest democracy in the world right here.
And finally, our gibberish of the week. We've been talking about that Colorado Supreme Court case that is still ongoing about whether or not Donald Trump can be on the 2024 ballot or if he should be excluded on the count of leading an insurrection, as is stated in the 14th Amendment. Trump's attorney in Colorado, former Secretary of State Scott Gessler, this happened a little after we recorded our last episode, but it's so good that we need to play it. Here is Gessler trying and failing to define insurrection in the trial with just a completely bullshit random definition.
And in fact, you look at some of the authorities here, the petitioner cite, they'll shift from insurrection in some instances and draw examples from treason or rebellion. So they are used very interchangeably. So we would argue that, you know, sort of on the scale of violence and duration and scope and organization, the events of January 6th were more like a riot and far less than a rebellion, and insurrection is far closer to rebellion than it is riot.
How would you define insurrection?
Part of my whole thesis is that we can't define it, and that's in part why this is a non-justiciable question. But to the extent you push me, which you are, I would say it requires at least multiple considerations that go beyond what we had here. I think the duration has to be longer than 3 hours. I think the geographical scope has to be broader than one building. And you say, well, that was the U.S. Capitol. True. It wasn't the Pentagon. It wasn't, it was a singular node. The goal wasn't to nullify governmental authority and set up an alternative government. Mm. The goal, as if one assumes the predicate that President Trump directed the crowd, which we reject, to get Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, to delay the certification. That's not nullification. And I understand it's violent, and I understand it's bad, but we, as I would submit, as lawyers in this process, need to distinguish those gradations because
it has to last longer than 3 hours and encompass more than one building.
And be in more than one building. You can almost hear it when the words are coming out of his mouth, that he's like, oh, God, this is a great argument that I'm making now.
As a friend of the show pointed out, that would make 9/11 under the same logic. 9/11 would not be, I guess you wouldn't consider it a terrorist attack because it was shorter than 3 hours, but did include.
And it was only two buildings. So that's true. That's true. Square footage wise.
Not an insurrection, but maybe still a terrorist attack. I love the part of that clip where you can hear I don't know which female justice it is, but she's like, huh?
Sounds like Melissa Hart.
All right, that's it for us this week.
The Get More Smarter podcast is a production of ColoradoPulse.com and The Bighorn Company. Your hosts are me, Ian Silveri, and America's dad,
Jason Bain,
who engineered and produced this thing. The fuzzy mic on the last episode was my fault, not Jason's. Don't blame him. Breakmaster Cylinder made the theme song. Wear your fucking seatbelt. Get your goddamn booster. Jesus Christ. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Rate the show and leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. If you got more smarter, it helps us a lot. Find us at GetMoreSmarter.com, where you can sign up for bonus content in our Substack. And please send all your Hanukkah gift wrapping tips to Ian at GetMoreSmarter.com and the rest of your emails to either AngryRants@GetMoreSmarter.com or Jason@GetMoreSmarter.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
If you leave us a review, by the way, we will cut up a piece of Ian's sweater and send it to you. Mifepristone? Shit. I told you I'd do it. I told you I'd get it wrong. Mifepristone. It also sounds like a soup.
Mifepristone? That's like minestrone. Right. Mifepristone. It's no laughing matter, unfortunately.
You know how we do. Suckable.